Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Kids Music on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Hi, this is Ian Eisenberg. I'm calling here. I'm joining you from New York. And always with us out in California is Jay Logan. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Hello, everyone.
Excellent. So, Jay, we were just talking offline about what's going on in music right now. How's everything going with you?
Well, everything is going pretty good. I'm definitely out here working on more product and doing a lot of great things in technology. So it's going pretty good with me. Let you know that we're out here working on some jingles.
Jingles? Like commercial jingles?
Yeah, jingles.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, some of the jingles we work with are with some of the nonprofit places out here. I don't want to put their name out there, but some of the nonprofit companies out here in the Bay Area, and I'm just working on jingles for them and making them great songs.
That must be a lot of fun, and just the fact that we share about, like, just really creating music that parents will be obsessed with, kids will be obsessed with. I mean, it's been a few years, and I just still can't get the Subway $5 footlong jingle out of my head.
$5. Yeah, that's a good jingle. You can't get that out of your head. But that's basically what we're doing, coming up with stuff like that. And it's fun. It's really funny, and it's fun.
That sounds a lot of fun, Jay. So for anyone who is listening for the first time, Parents Kids Music is a show where we talk about the relationships that people have with their parents, and or if they're lucky enough to be parents, with their children, about music and how you people have an influence to music and influence their children, and how you agree or disagree and the relationship you have with your parents because of the music that you listened to growing up or not, and how people grow and have their identities. So Jay, I know usually at this part of the show we talk about an artist that Jay's discovered along with his daughters. Jay is a father and lucky enough to have kids. I'm not at this point. Yeah, so tell me about who we're talking about today.
Oh boy, Ian. This time we have a little darling. She's such a little darling. And her name is Connie Talbot. And she's just beautiful, and she's from England, and I'm just so impressed with her voice, and she's just a little doll, and she's singing all kind of big girl songs like Whitney Houston, and I think she was on the show out there in England, I believe it was America, British, something about British
Got Talent. Yeah.
Yes.
We can thank Simon Cowell for introducing this girl to the world.
Yes, and she went all the way to the top, and she came in second. Unfortunately, she lost to this other guy, but
that's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah, we were talking about that today. And this girl, I mean, she has a big voice, and she has like 3 albums, and she's like 10 years old, yeah?
Wow. It's amazing, like, how you always share about these people. Like, they're so young and they have so many albums. I know it's like when you shared with me about her before the show, I was searching on Wikipedia. Found out that originally she had like a major label contract that was canceled or was stripped because the company thought she was too young. And it's just amazing how with some of the other kids we've mentioned at the top of previous shows where, like, that kid who had death threats because he was playing in bars. And
Yeah, that company was Sony, BMG. They thought they pulled her out of the deal due to her
age.
They're
huge.
Right.
they're huge, and the fact is that she's gone on to get another record deal, and you said she has 3 albums, and that not only does she have albums, people have bought them.
Right. You're right about that. She has like a Christmas album, Holiday Magic album, and she has one called Over the Rainbow. Connie sold, I believe, Connie Talbot sold like 250,000 copies of her first album throughout the world. Which
is a million albums sold. I mean, I couldn't even imagine someone just the idea of myself with my beautiful singing voice and my clarinet skills that haven't been touched in like 15, 20 years, just putting out a CD and people buy it. So it's amazing that someone, that there are talented people, young and old, that have that power to just create music that people find and buy.
It's amazing. If you add that up at $10 a pop, at 250,000 copies, you do the math, the girl is talented and she's successful. And she can sing. It's incredible, her voice. I can't believe it. I mean, she has control. You're like, some young artists at that age, they don't really have control. But this little darling, she has control of her voice. Good enough to get a record deal. Good enough to sell 250,000 units worldwide. That's a lot of, chunk of change, you know, for a 10-year-old.
That is just remarkable, Jay, without a doubt, as you've shared with so many of these, like, especially, like, really started out with, was like, what you and your daughter had been listening to, what you found on YouTube, and the point where we just found so much young talent, like, these talented singers and musicians, and it's just amazing how there's just so many influences that are out there. That's, I think, a lot of segue to the big news, which we were talking about, that was announced yesterday, that Activision has announced discontinuation of Guitar Hero.
Oh, poor Guitar Hero. That's it for me. I can't pull out my guitar, my Stratocaster in. It's over for me.
You can pull out a real one, or just the fact that it's something that had been such a huge craze and was just super buzzworthy and led to so many different games. And the fact is, it introduced people to different songs, not just Guitar Hero, but also Rock Band, which, as far as I know, still is in existence. Even though I know that MTV and through Viacom through MTV actually developed Rock Band with the people who originally created Guitar Hero, and that even then they sold that out. But it definitely was a moment. I mean, Soundgarden had one of like the biggest selling albums last year of a band that broke up like 15 years ago. And the only reason why the album sold so well is because it was a greatest hits album that came free with like versions of, I think, Rock Band.
Wow. Does that mean that DJ Hero and Drum Hero, you mean all those other things there, they go away also? Does that mean that too?
I don't know, but it sounds a little vague about it, but just the fact that like the whole Guitar Hero division of Activision was laid off.
Wow. How do you apply for a new job? I work for Guitar Hero and I'm going to work for, I mean, do you use that as a,
maybe they'll have auditions with plastic guitars.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that.
Maybe there could be like an American Idol or X Factor or Got Talent type show where you stand in front of the judges and you press those buttons that go along with the light. But the reason I mentioned it appropriate for this show is that I can tell you like how many times I've just heard like a song like In Bloom by Nirvana, which, like, being played in Rock Band and realizing, okay, this is one of the default songs that many children probably have not been exposed to with the limits of radio and just all the many options of, like, discovering music through family, through the internet, through television, that it was what it worked, but I guess that all things come to an end. So I guess Jay, I guess we should end this segment of the show and bring on our first guest. How do you feel about that?
I just want to tap on one thing. Guitar
sure.
Hero was a great educational tool for kids out there. That's why we were talking about it. It really educated the children on all of the music out there. So it's sad that it's going away because it was a great educational tool. I just want to throw that in there.
Thank
I'm
you,
ready to go.
Thank
ready to rock.
All right. Okay, let's bring Christine on. Christine, hi, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Christine.
How are you guys? I'm shocked about the Guitar Hero.
I'm going to ask you that. Did you get rid of your Guitar Hero?
Well, we have Rock Band here. We're Rock Band people. So, I'm okay with the Guitar Hero going, but I'm a little shocked to hear it. I did not know that.
Well, Ian got it to his mic.
I was somewhat surprised. Like, I do understand that sometimes when you release so many different versions of something or you stick to, like, this one thing, that it can get old, like how in the late 90s Disney had an animated musical movie every year to the point where it just lost somehow, it just lost that effect because it was like, you're okay, there's a new Disney animated musical coming out every year, to the point where they just weren't, like, striking gold in the levels of, like, Aladdin and The Lion King, like, earlier in the decade, to the point where it's, like, when you like, stop. And then, I mean, I'm sure the Guitar Hero brand, in my opinion, is something that I don't think it's gone forever, but I understand why they've just at least discontinued it, but it's just amazing, like, how they're stopping it, like, cold turkey like that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a market share thing, but wow. Have you seen the kids on YouTube, like, doing, like, the videos of how fast they can do it? Go to YouTube and, like, you know, type in, like, Guitar Hero, like, just type it in. And, like, people will put videos on about, like, and showing them. Basically lightning fast fingers. It's amazing. And these kids are, you know, they're kids. So, go to YouTube and search on Guitar Hero and Rock Band. And you can see the drumming, especially on Rock Band, is really out of control. Like,
wow.
What they can do. It's fun to, like, if you want to sit there and waste some time and, you know, catch some, like, amazing videos, go for the ones that have a lot of views and you won't be disappointed.
Wow,
Christine. Very cool. Yes, very cool. Yes, so Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and just your relationship with music as a child and as a parent?
Okay. Well, where do you want me to start?
At the beginning. Yo. In the beginning, there was light.
In the beginning, Well, what we listened to growing up actually is Generation X. So that means that, you know, when I was little, it was mostly the 70s. So we did listen to the radio a lot. But unfortunately, my mom was really into country and Western music, which I actually can't really take too much of, actually. So while I have two older brothers, and so they dominated the music scene for me. If my mother wasn't playing her Merle Haggerty or, you know what else she liked? Not my true folk music, but like Harry Chapin and that kind of folk music she went into. And don't forget it was the 70s, so if we could agree it was like Michael Jackson, maybe. My brothers and I were very influenced by Michael Jackson. Very, you know, popular in my very diverse neighborhood that I grew up in at the time. And Olivia Newton-John That album was huge. Huge. And you know what? We actually had that on 8-track. We had, like, 8-tracks were kind of going by the wayside, but we still had one. So, very funny.
What is that?
What is that 8-track? Yeah, I don't. Dude, look it up. There's no way I could even begin to explain why 8-track even existed. It doesn't make any sense. So I actually can't stand. I can take a little bit of country music, like Mary Chapin Carpenter. I can take a little bit. And, you know, officially, Taylor Swift, which is my kid loves, because, you know, she's 10 years old. She's officially country music, and I can stand it. But, you know, like the really honky-tonk, like really twangy country music is really hard for me to listen to. I can't do it. So it's funny, and she still listens to that kind of stuff to this day, and I'm still listening to the radio and still, you know, pretty pop music-oriented, a little bit of alternative rock. I really like the Eurythmics growing up, and that whole scene, Peter Gabriel, and of course Madonna and Michael Jackson. For anybody that grew up Generation X, you can't deny. So that's kind of where the music scene that I grew up in. We did do a lot. My mom was kind of a hippie, so I definitely saw a lot of concerts, like outdoor concerts. Definitely the singer-songwriter thing still sticks with me. Love the singer-songwriter, independent music stuff. I have a lot of independent CDs from people that I've seen around in Philadelphia, people who come through or people from Philadelphia. Definitely like to see live music, especially any of those singer-songwriter things. Just a person and a guitar is really impressive to me, but I grew up also singing and dancing, so any kind of beats. I always liked any of the pop music, hip-hop. Hip-hop is I followed from the very beginning. Probably my mother couldn't stand it. She kept her mouth shut. but definitely knew all the hip-hop, all the early hip-hop stuff, and followed it ever since. So I have a pretty diverse kind of thing, but, you know, it's kind of in the same line of most of my Generation X, you know, people.
Wow.
What else? Yeah.
Very cool. So basically your mother tolerated the hip-hop like you tolerated the country.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because, you know, during my wedding, say, like I had all the, you know, dance music, hip-hop or whatever, and then and my mom wasn't dancing at all because, you know, I just figured that she wasn't going to be dancing. Then a funny thing, like old-time rock and roll. Who sings that song? Do you guys remember that song? That it's kind of poppy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I do not know who the artist is. If someone can tweet it for me before I Google it myself, I'm going to find it out.
Right. Maybe someone can. You know, everybody knows the song. Well, I didn't realize this because I was off, like, getting pictures taken or something or whatever. I saw it on the video after. Boy, that my mother got up and danced her heart out to that song. So it was funny because, like, you know, she would dance, but she just didn't have the music that she likes. And you get something that even is, like, a little bit country, twangy, she goes all out. So it's just really funny.
By the way, it's Bob Seger.
Oh, yes, Bob Seger. How could I forget Bob Seger? So, you know, we definitely did kind of have to, especially when I was a teenager, we kind of had to just not listen to each other's music. It kind of, the house kind of got quiet as we got older because, you know, nobody could agree. So, but I'm still right in it. I still listen to the radio. Now I subscribe to radio. I have a satellite radio that is on a lot and, you know, my kids are both big fans. It's really funny to hear my 5-year-old sing along with Kesha. But, you know, he knows all the words. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny. But, usually when I get together with my mom, like, no music's playing. We don't have music at family gatherings, and it's not, like, playing in the background. And, you know, it's a very, like, Thanksgiving's, like, quiet. There's not even, like, you know, easy listening music in the background. It's just, we just have gotten into this habit where when we're all together, there's no music playing. When we had Christmas here at my house this year, I did play Christmas music in the background, but that's kind of a rare thing. And I just have this massive, massive Christmas playlist that I've been working on for the past number of years. I played that in the background, and nobody said anything, even though I had, like, Eurythmics on there, and I have some alternative Christmas music on there. People kind of just let it go and didn't notice. But otherwise, like, as a family, we really, you know, as the extended family, we really actually keep, we have such diverse tastes that we have to keep the radio off. Isn't that sad? Do you guys have that at your family? Do you guys, like, all agree on music?
No, we always have the mud fight. Don't worry about that. That's perfectly normal on our show, siblings and moms. We have the mud fight, fighting over the radio station. So just turn it off completely and nobody gets upset.
And you can see, that, Jay, that's a big part of this show because we have guests who they have the exact same taste, and there's ones where it's different. It's about how to coexist. Like, I know that every time I'm in my car, and if my father is using the car, the station's always changed. And it's always just about, okay, I've got my presets. And just years of, like, growing up growing up with my sister, where it was always, like, the fights over the top 40 stations or the rock stations.
Right, right.
And then you can go even deeper about, like, how I'm someone who just loves, like, sports talk radio, and I'm the only one in my entire family who probably does.
Oh, you would love Philadelphia. Oh, my goodness. We have quite the sports talk radio inflammatory situation here. It's like, even, like, the really true sports fans have a hard time listening to it. It gets really – so, yeah, you must drive people crazy with that.
So, basically, it's the Fox News of sports talk.
Exactly. And my mom is
the
Fox News person.
I have a quick question for you, Christine. You said you guys that your mom listened to country and western, and you mentioned Harry Chapin, right?
Harry Chapin, yeah. That's more of a folk thing, I suppose.
So it's kind of like folk, kind of rock folk thing. So she kind of likes rock a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she would go for, like, not a heavy rock beat, but definitely something with, you know, a basic beat behind it. You know, he's kind of like a singer-songwriter type, and he, like, on the fringes of the folk crowd between, yeah, I mean, she likes songs that tell stories, whereas I'm more of a song, like, I like good lyrics. I like great lyrics, but I really like, I go for the actual beat more, the music more. So,
was your mom like a humanitarian also? She liked what he stood for, kind of? You know, he was always...
Oh, yeah, well, it's kind of, she's super conservative now. I mean, she likes Glenn Beck. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, so... I don't know. I think it might have been just kind of the 70s, though, too, and just it was a different era. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of it's hard to marry, like, really what she listened to and what, like, you know, politics at that point. I think she mostly went for the conservative stuff, the Southern music, you know, the country and Western music. But, you know, they're definitely, she loved we all love the Olivia Newton-John album. So that's what got played over and over again because we could agree on it.
So even your two older brothers, they liked, pretty much liked the Olivia Newton-John
too? Yeah, they were, I'm sure they got a little sick of it, but no, they were totally cool. Everybody was cool with Olivia Newton-John back then. You don't remember, but totally everybody was like, yeah, man, like... So everybody was kind of cool with it. So, go ahead.
What about, did you and your two older brothers go to any concerts?
I never went to any concerts with them, actually. Isn't that funny? I mean, I went to concerts with friends. I actually saw the Moody Blues in concert back then. I saw Mr. Mister, and the Bangles opened up for them. Get that. You know, I went to the Madonna concert, Peter Gabriel. I didn't actually end up going to too many concerts with my brothers. They weren't really concert goers. They more like the radio or recorded music or whatever. The crowds probably weren't their thing, but I'm more of a party person. So I like the crowds and the energy, but my brothers really wouldn't go for that sort of thing. So
they didn't want to tag their little sister along, maybe something like that. We're not going to take her. She's too little. I mean, you think that was a...
No. They just didn't like the crowds or to spend the money. Holy crud. It was like, well, it's expensive today, but it was even like expensive then, you know? So I think they were just more cheap.
No. I think it's also relative, obviously, to the times and the budgets and where you are. And also it's just like being exposed to different music. It's like there are those people that are exposed to being at a concert and going to a live experience. I know I've gone to many shows, and I definitely have not been to my last concert at all. Yes, Christine, we're running out of time as we have our next guest ready. So do you have any final thoughts about, like, the relationships with your family, what you've learned from your mother, and, like, how it's brought you to just listening to music and being exposed to music, exposing music to your children today?
Well, we came from a long line of church singers, so that's one of the things that has always been consistent, is the participation in the music and not just the listening. So my daughter is definitely, she actually had got into an audition chorus that you had to audition for, and so it's still, and you know, my son is little, all little kids love to sing, and we always sang, and we always, like, had some sort of, you know, music, until we got to the point where we couldn't agree anymore. We always had some sort of, you know, singing happening almost every day, and I think that's definitely a tradition that everybody should carry on. It's good for the soul.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us, and the next time you play Rock Band, you can just play Such a Heavy Heart. And
yes, I'll put it up on YouTube.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
No
so
problem.
Much.
Bye, guys. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And bye. Thank you very much, Christine. And now here comes Juan. Hey, Juan, are you on? Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me? How you doing? Thank you. Hello?
Oh, great. Is Pierre Jay there? Welcome.
Yes, I'm there. Hello, Juan.
Hi, how are you? Good.
I'm great.
Good for. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, so I know that you've been listening to the show, and what are your thoughts about the death of Guitar Hero?
Well, personally, I really don't play it. You know, I played it once. I know it's a big thing, and I don't see it going away, simply because it touches a new generation with older generations, and I think, you know, that fuses, you know, the old and new generation, so to speak. So I don't see it going away. I don't know. That's my personal belief. I mean, I don't really play it. I don't have time for video games, unfortunately, but I, you know, that's what I see it because, I mean, you see, like, the Beatles, for example, they had, you know, that whole... Yeah, exactly. So that touches, you know, old, you know, generations and introducing the new music, I mean, older music to the new generation. So I don't, you know, I think it's a great platform to, you know, so this older music, or, you know, doesn't get lost, I guess.
That's absolutely.
Oh, so you're saying it's going to be Guitar Hero Retro, and you can buy the stuff on eBay.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. Yep.
Like, I mean, it's just it's amazing. Like, you heard about this guy named Ben Heck, who constantly is buying up all these old discontinued video game systems, like the old Nintendos and Super Nintendos and Sega Genesis, and making new handheld portables, like, with their guts. Who knows what, like, a Ben Heck Guitar Hero hack will look like in a few years.
Yeah. And it's interesting how, you know, you know, with music and video games. I mean, I grew up with video games, by the way, so that's how I got into the IT field, you know, by playing video games and stuff like that. So, but it's always amazing to how they always put music, even in the 16-bit video games and 8-bit video games, they have put music in that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so tell us a little bit about your musical background, and including your experiences with the video games, and just like how were you exposed to music growing up, and how much was your family involved with it?
Right. So, I mean, I'm originally from El Salvador, so I was born in El Salvador, came to the States when I was 4 years old. And so my parents, you know, listened to both the Spanish and English music, you know, or American music at the time. So they listened to a lot of disco and stuff like that. And you know, some rock and roll as well, but there was also some Spanish music, and I remember listening to a lot of Julio Iglesias, by the way. So at that time it was popular, and he was probably in the 70s, you know, and he was world, you know, known. And the ironic is that now his son is doing a lot of you know, pop music, so which I like him too. I like Enrique Iglesias as well. So so I grew up with that, and so when I was growing up, I listened to a lot of 80s music, you know, Simple Minds and all these other you know, 80s pop music. That overall, I think pop has been influenced in my life. And as your previous guest was saying, that she was more into, I guess, the beat and not into the lyrics. I was the same way too. I like something with beat because I like to dance, I guess, if you will.
You pretty much like the rhythm and beat.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because, I mean, you know, also when I was growing up, I really didn't know English. You know, my first language was Spanish. So I listened to American music. It was, like, foreign to me. So, you know, but if it had a good beat and I liked it, then that was, you know, my interpretation that I really like. And to this day, I mean, I love anything that's, you know, has a good beat to it, you know, a catchy beat. Unfortunately, most pop music has that. So that's where I kind of, you know, head to.
Well, what was the first beat that caught your attention, if you can remember? Like, which, when you first heard it, just made you say, wow, I want to dance, get up and do my thing?
Oh, man. I mean, there is a lot. There's so many off the top of my mind. I really don't know. I mean, anything that comes into mind. I mean, I remember watching movies, too, like when I was growing up, like, you know, with the Goonies and stuff like that. And I remember the soundtrack to that, also Back to the Future. So there was a lot of movies that had a good, you know, movie soundtracks, I remember. So that's I can't really, you know, think off the top of my head. It's like saying, what's your favorite candy, you know?
Well, you might, most people say, like, Michael Jackson. Some people, you might have, you don't have to be perfect, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Michael Jackson was definitely a huge thing. I remember going to the store buying his album, which was Thriller, and I remember that. And actually, it was a cassette. It wasn't an album, you know, cassette tape at that time. And I was so excited, and I remember, you know, hearing on my Walkman and listening back and forth, you know? So right, it was definitely good. Yeah, and then I have very eclectic taste, by the way. So I listen to also at one point I remember listening to a lot of heavy metal, rock, and then R&B, and you know, now it's just purely I listen to pop music.
Okay.
And then
so
you know,
you any,
my son.
Do you have any brothers and sisters that you share some of this music with?
Not really, but I know my brother, he's really into, right now, my brother, he's 19, and, he picked up the drums, he plays a lot of the drums, and he listens to a lot of punk music, so he, and like, you know, Rush as well. I know Rush is not punk, but he likes, you know, hearing Rush and, playing drums and stuff like that, which actually, ironically, now my son, who's 19 months, he loves the drums because he picked it up from, you know, from his uncle.
Oh, so your son loves the drums. Does he play on his uncle's drum set then when he goes over there? Or how does that work?
Yeah, yeah, he goes. I mean, when he was about a year and a half, when we just started walking, I mean, he just banged on the drums, because my brother has a one of those electric drums, you know, set, and he has a real drum set as well. But I think my son's scared of that, because one time he hit the cymbal and he just like ran away. But now he's, you know, he just definitely loves the drums. He's always down there and, you know, plays with it and all that stuff. So.
So that's good. That's good. He knows what instruments are. You already got him ready to go. He knows. He hit that cymbal. He said, "Wait a minute, what did that do? That made a loud noise." And he kind of jammed away from it, which is good. So now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he's, well, he's ready to go. Do you play an instrument also?
No, I tried and no success. I remember trying to play the guitar at one point, and then also recently, a couple of years ago, I tried playing the piano, and you know, with a lot of the instruments, you require a lot of time and dedication, you know, to, it's a lot of practice, you know, which I unfortunately didn't have the time. So, you know, but if I hit the lottery one day, I would be playing guitar and piano. That's what I would like to do.
That commercial with the guy who's like, "I used to rock once a week. Now that I'm retired, I rock every day."
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is it, what happened?
I want to ask you, what do you do professionally?
I do websites, web development, and it's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking to Ian earlier, and I was telling him that I was in the process of possibly making an app for kids, and you know, want to see if we can involve some music with that app. So,
it's type of widget type of app, a widget thing, or some actually app?
For more for the iPhone, because the thing is that I used to have an iPod Touch, and I gave it to my wife, and then I got the iPhone, and now I got the iPhone 4, and I gave my old iPhone to my wife, and the iPod, we gave it to my son, and now my son, it's unbelievable, he's only 19 months, and he's all going through apps like crazy, you know? And
wow.
You know, and there are some musical apps that he likes. Like, there's a piano for kids, you know, that he likes. That's one of his favorite apps. And he's only 19 months, and he's already going through these apps. And he's, like, switching, going around. He likes PBS Kids. He likes some Nickelodeon stuff, you know. And so there was a couple of apps that I'm, like, saying to himself, I'm like, why don't they have this kind of app? There has to be an app for this. And I couldn't find an app. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to probably make this app for my son, you know. So
I have a suggestion for you. We want you to make a Parents Kids music app. So we'll be expecting that after the show. We'll call you back.
Okay, you got it.
Yes, we'll have thousands of dollars of work complete tonight, yes.
Exactly, sure, no problem. You'll have it by tomorrow.
Well, I'm playing, but, you know, I just want to throw that in there. Wow, man, so that's great that you're going to do these apps. And you know what's amazing is you said your son already knows how to use most of the apps on your iPod.
Yeah, 19 months, you know, I'm going to probably film him this, and you should Google kids, like, 1.5 already doing with iPods or iPhones, and they're already playing, and there's so many apps out there for babies and kids that it's amazing that the kids are picking up this stuff already, and, you know, he's not even 2 yet, you know?
And so he likes the piano
that's amazing, like, how the internet just is, like, getting from the cradle to the net. I mean, I was not online for the first time until, like, I was 18. Seriously. Wow.
Yeah, it's truly amazing where we're going.
Absolutely.
You know,
so what do you see technology-wise, where are we going with this music thing with the kids and the schools and everything? What do you see it going for?
You know, accessibility. I mean, the simple fact that you can just download whatever you want, any kind of content that you want onto an iPhone, iPod, or whatever, you know, wherever you want to kind of hear music, boom, yes, I know. Like, you guys were talking about, you know, what was that favorite singer, so-and-so? You can Google it. You can just have it instantly, you know? So it's accessibility, I think. It just having that information right there in your fingertips, so to speak, not, you know, literally in your fingertips. So I think that's where we can probably go. I mean, if you ever had a discussion, say, hey, what's that artist name? What's that song? Whatever, boom. And there's so many cool apps there too. Like I use one called Shazam, I think is it, the one that you know, if you try to say, hey, what's the name of that song on the radio, and just you turn it on and it tells you. It's amazing.
It is amazing that that these technologies exist, and it's that at one point they didn't exist. That someone came up with an idea, kind of like how you said, where's this app for my kid? Oh, let me come up with it. That there's just so many solutions that are out there that we don't even, that's perhaps someone who's listening to the show today will say, this is what we need. This is what's going to change the world, whether it's music or technology or both,
yeah,
or some completely different subject that is not within the domain of parents, kids, music, that they're just like, okay, what's missing? Let me make it happen out of nothing.
Exactly. I mean, when we're growing up, and you know, when I was growing up, the thing we had was the Walkman. That was the biggest technology around. You know, the Sony Walkman. Yeah. You know, you had all these cassette tapes that you can listen to music. But now, I mean, you can have tons and hundreds of music on one little, you know, device. It's truly amazing. A lot of people don't forget that we used to use cassette tapes at one time. You know.
Yes, and it was just amazing last September when Apple. It was the anniversary of the day that the original iPod was announced, that Sony announced they were discontinuing the Walkman to the point where it doesn't even exist anymore.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So how far, Juan, are we away from the musical holodeck? Well, the holodeck where you can go in and do whatever. How many years away do you think that is, technology-wise?
Well, I mean... as far as like, you know, technology, I mean, it's growing exponentially, you know, so we don't know. At this point, we really don't know. It could be maybe 10 years or maybe less than that, because computers are getting faster. Everything is, you know, tripling. It's so fast. It's truly amazing. The technology is almost here, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if it would have been sooner than a lot later that we predict, you know. A lot of things we think that it's going to be, it's going to be about 10 years, 15 years. Before you know it, it's like 5 years, you know?
Because they're already using holographics in, like, Madden football and all these other things. So I'm wondering, like, a band or some musicians, if kids can go into a room and actually play virtual instruments. And I'm just wondering, that seems to be a possibility then soon, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's always going to be something with tangible. You have to have something, you know, when you to play with it tangible. And as far as, you know... Unless you're talking about like a synthetic, what's that called, a synthesizer or something like that, with the light synthesizer?
Yeah.
There's no fun with that. Playing in the air is no fun. You gotta have to hold something, you know.
Okay.
So you have to hold something, you know. All
right.
That's for me. I think.
I just want to get your thoughts on that. I just want to get a little technical. Well, so do your mom play? Do your parents play music?
They don't play any music. No. But you know, but I'll tell you something really quick that, you know, as far as you also used to listen to a lot of Spanish music when I was younger, growing up to that, and even now, like I'll go on YouTube and just Google like a Spanish music that I was growing up with, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. It just brings me back into that era. I think the correlation and relationship with music and that type of music, it just brings me back. Like what I was saying with the 80s, like you brought up Michael Jackson. I remember, you know, going to in the 80s, there used to be a department store called TSS, and I remember going to that and purchasing the Thriller, you know, and I remember it so clearly, like it was yesterday, you know, and so I guess every music to me, I can relate. Even when a music comes on or such a particular song comes on, I can always say, oh, that brings me back on to when I was there, and you know, I was, you know, in this location, or it just, you know, a lot of nostalgia with me, with the music.
Also, it's like a time machine. It brings you back, and once you...
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. I don't know.
Well,
I guess I'm... I don't know if that happens to you guys.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, Juan. I know you brought some technical issues, which we like to have guests on our show that talk technical with the websites and
of
everything.
Course.
And
Yeah.
You know, we're welcome back anytime. We really appreciate you.
Oh,
well,
no problem.
Yeah,
so hopefully.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Excellent, Jake. Two amazing guests so far, and we're not done yet, as now we can bring on Alex. Alex, are you there?
Am I here?
I think you just answered it. Are you here? I guess virtually in the world. Are you exactly where you were before you were on the show, but now digitally connected through all these pipes through to myself here and Jay out in California and the rest of the world? Alex, welcome to the show.
Yes.
It's
welcome,
great
Alex.
To be here. And there.
Yeah.
And everywhere.
Well, you're there.
Yes, you are.
Everywhere.
Jessica, beautiful. I see you've been listening to part of the show. And what do you think about just like the technology and the music and just technology making music and distributing music and how it just affects just relationships and being able to introduce music to parents and to kids and to both?
I think that technology is a beautiful crutch that helps us to connect sometimes when we cannot connect without it. And I think that it's very important to express what we feel, and it's great when it resonates with what you're feeling. But I think it needs I think sometimes you don't really need it. If you can have a conversation, sometimes you don't need to be near music. Sometimes when you're in the zone, you don't need to listen to anything. You can create.
Okay, that's good. I agree with that. Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you do. And when you're in the zone, I get into the zone like in the mornings, like at 5 a.m. I wake up, I'm in the zone. The consciousness wakes me up, and I listen to my music or create. And you're right about that. But you can get into the zone at any given time, and you can create, and that's great when you do. And so sometimes you can be the instrument, or you can be of the instrument. So I get what you're saying there. You're right. You know, the technology does that. See, sometimes you can connect with it, and sometimes you don't have to. So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Ever since I was a little kid, I used to like to draw while listening to the music. And I would go and I would create series of pictures to everyone that I knew. And that's how I used the music at first. Then I got more into the words. I was much more into the words than into the music. And now I'm very much into silence.
So now you're into the vibrations more now. You were into the lyrics, and now you're into the vibes, and the frequency.
Exactly.
What it's about. Because everything operates on a frequency, so that's good that you, and even words are frequencies too, but when you listen to the tones and the sounds and the stuff, that creates the environment and the feeling and the vibe. And I'm into that too. So I have to say, do you play an instrument yourself?
My father used to play every and still plays any instrument that would make a sound.
What?
But either he refused to teach me or I refused to be taught. I tried several times to play an instrument, but except my vocal cords, there's nothing I can operate. And that barely. I passed the test for operating my vocal cords maybe after a sixth try.
Wow. So that's amazing. Your father played a lot of instruments. Now,
oh, yes. Still does.
So and you would, when you grew up, you would hear him play these instruments at the house?
Oh, yes. All the time. Sometimes
exactly.
At the house, sometimes he had a band and he would tour the countryside make tons of money on the weddings.
Is he hiring right now? Because I need a job. No, I'm just Ian. You know, that's probably why Alex likes to hear sounds now, because his dad, you know, played all these instruments, and so now he's kind of grown up now, and he likes to hear all these instruments and sounds now because that's what he grew up doing. What do you think about that, Ian? Is that?
I can certainly.
That's how my father.
I can certainly understand, because this is definitely a unique approach to, like, the relationships with parent, father, and son with music, as a lot of questions that we ask her about, like, what kind of music did you listen to, or did you listen to certain artists or certain things, but that's really cool, Alex, being influenced by your father's musical prowess and just the fact that that's always the soundtrack of your life, about just that creation.
I like, was that the question about different kinds of music that I do like?
It wasn't so much about that, but yeah, if you'd like to elaborate on, like, what the kinds of music you like and, like, how it's been influenced and do you get along with your family musically?
I do get along with my family very well, but I think getting along musically is a little bit harder, because sometimes even you get along with people really well, sometimes you're not in the same mood. And for me, music is all about the mood. And when I do like to play some music, it should be edgy. So it would range from punk rock, like Sex Pistols, Garbage, Doors, Offspring, to ladies with attitudes like Nina Simone or Billie Holiday. And sometimes something very moody, like Astor Piazzolla, Tom Waits, Nick Cave, Radiohead. And all the way to jazz and classical music, especially Paganini or Bach.
Well, you like all types. You have a wide variety, which is,
yeah,
and
of course there's the part of it that's so heavy on lyrics, something like Zappa.
Okay. So are you? Where are you? You grew up? Where did you grow up at?
I was born in Ukraine, and then I spent about 10 years in Israel, and another 10 years here.
Wow! So you got a taste of everything.
Oh yes.
Wow.
No, not everything yet, but I keep tasting.
Yeah.
So what do you see? What do you see you listening to in the future? Are you going to check out some different kind of music for you? Are you going to kind of stay in the realm you've been in? What do you see in the future for you, Alex?
The future of music? I think it's going to become even more personalized. I think it's going to be more of it, and you will stick with it for less time. And
okay.
I hope that you would listen to the music of the voices of people you really want to talk with.
Okay. So more. Okay, I see what you're saying. So basically, be more personal, and people will be able to share amongst their friends and be able to have that kind of dialogue going on, opposed to the radio stations that are playing everything. Everybody will have their own personal likes, and they share amongst themselves. Is that basically what you're saying?
I think yes. And also, of course, people would keep listening to parents' kids' music.
We like that. Wow. So do you have any kids, Alex, that yet?
Yes, I have a couple of kids, and they are very much into any music that lets them wiggle their butt. And we are very butt-wiggling family. So we like any kind of music that lets us do that.
Wow. So how are they young or are they older? Or?
They are 6 and 8.
Wow, they're ready to jump around and do their thing. That's a beautiful age. Never want them to grow up from that age. So you got a good music health in your family. Apparently you got your grandfather, they got you, your wife, and you got them two. You have a beautiful music. We have a thing on our show called Music Health. And you get a grade A because you just took us all around. You talked about the sounds. You talked about the lyrics. You talked about the butts wiggling. You talked about the future. And, I mean, you really got it going on. And I think most families would love to have a family like yours because that music brings a very special tone and vibe in the house. And you can share it with your kids like you do. It's great. It's a great thing. And do you plan on taking those kids to any concerts to see any of these groups, Radiohead or any of these groups that you like? Or you plan on taking those kids out?
I'm not sure if I'm going to take them to the concert, but I keep playing whatever they're ready to listen to.
Okay.
I don't think you could wiggle much butt to Radiohead. So we have to stay on a Latin channel for that.
But okay. That would be interesting. A Radiohead cover album, but make it into happy music. That would be cool. All right, Alex, we're running out of time. So any final thoughts about
I have a final thought about the Guitar Hero. I think what defines a hero or a good music is how many people change because of the hero or because of the music. My life didn't change because of Guitar Hero, so I don't think it's much of a hero. But maybe after the death, it will change me, so then it will become the real hero.
So it will become Guitar Legend. Or the hero will become a legend after the hero is
become
gone.
Become the real hero.
The real
after
hero.
The death. Yeah.
Got it. All right, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for calling, and keep on being musical.
And keep wiggling those kids,
Alex.
Man, good. Thank you so much for coming on our show. We really appreciate you, man. Have a blessed day, too.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. Well, Jay, what a great collection of guests we had today.
Yes, we had great. It was fun. Very fun today.
Yes, I mean, we had wiggling butts. We had agreeing to disagree about country and hip-hop and all these different things with Christine. Then we had Juan and just the whole technological thing. The idea of creating an iPhone app for his kid just because it doesn't exist. And he thinks, where is this thing for my kid? And just exposing it. And then Alex, the wiggling the butt, the just exposure from all over the world, the influence from his father, even though he didn't become a musician himself, even though I can say that I've seen Alex give speeches in public before, and they do come off musically. And it is a well-gifted thing. So, Jay, we have a few seconds left, so I would like to say, what is your treasure.net? What is your treasure?
What is my treasure.net? My treasure.net today is everybody winning the lotto. How about that one? I think everybody can agree with that treasure.
You know what? If I only played that for 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 in that, I think it was the Powerball where like they had the millions and it was the closest to the numbers of loss. Would have been beautiful. I think my treasure today is just the snow melting, the limit number of days until pitchers and catchers report to spring training, and the fact that Major League Baseball put the price up for MLB TV. So I'm excited that spring, that Yes, it is now. We're hitting Valentine's Day this coming Monday, and snow is starting to melt, and that spring is all around. It's coming up.
That's a good treasure. That's a good treasure. I think that's a good treasure.net, Ian.
So once again, we invite you to go to whatisyourtreasure.net. And for Jay Logan, and I'm Ian Eisenberg, and we'll see you next week on Parents Kids Music.
See you later, you guys.